Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Now, Lenny, for the hard-hitting questions.
Of course.
Oh, boy.
I'm so curious, like, what is the percentage of Major League Baseball players that have tried wearing the silk thong? Because I've heard many a story.
I would say the underwear superstition category falls ranging from...
Welcome, MythFits.
Welcome back to MythFits. I am Tori Belleci.
And I'm Carrie Byron. Thank you guys for listening once again, because we always have such fun here. And you get to listen to all the weird conversations that Tori and I have on a regular basis. But this time, we're just, you know, we're putting them on film.
So here's a little fun fact about Carrie that the fans might not know about. Carrie is a big sports fan. Carrie, this is something, I feel like this is kind of a new... development, because while we were on MythBusters, you were not so much into sports.
Okay. Could we just unpack this for a minute? Because you knew me in a certain era of my life, and people are all very, very different at the different places that they are. When I was on MythBusters, I was a really unfun wet blanket. I had a small child. I didn't go out anywhere. I was still married. Like, I wasn't what I am now, which is everybody's favorite plus one. I get invited to everything. I get invited to basketball games, to baseball games. I get invited to concerts and parties because I'm the one that's going to bring it right now. Like, I am way more fun. Like,
Carrie is a good time. But wait a minute. So when we first started MythBusters, you weren't married. You didn't have a kid. And when all the Australians would come over, I would take them to Giants games because they were like, oh, American baseball. And so, you know, after work, we would all go, big group of us would go and watch the games, but you would never come. How come?
Because I wasn't married yet, but I was still with my ex. And, you know, we worked 13-hour days during the week. Like, I never saw him, like, during the weekday. So on weekends, he was like... come to my events, come, like, he was a bicycle racer. He wanted me to come to his things. And, you know, I had already spent 5 days with you guys and, like, you know, it was going to ruin my relationship. I mean, I guess the writing was on the wall back then, but.
How'd that work out? Sorry, Carrie.
No shade. That is my baby daddy.
So what changed? Now, all of a sudden you like the Giants. All of a sudden you like the Warriors basketball. What
it's
changed?
Sudden. It's a slow roll up during, like, you know, the last 5 years or so. But, like, you and I've always been, like, kind of nerdy about, like, the, like, minutia of people's passions. And I have family who are super duper into, like, football and baseball and sports. And my nephew, for one, is somebody who, like, I gave him the best day of his life, right? Because a friend of mine gave me club seats to a Warriors game, and I could take anybody I wanted. And so I invited my nephew. Well, actually, I pulled it off as sort of like a fun ending prank. My sister and her family showed up at the stadium pretending that they were just going to get burgers at, like, the famous burger place. And then they just ran into me. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you guys are here. All right, I'm going to take a picture. Everybody get together, say, Aunt Carrie's taking Charlie's to the Warriors game. And his face just was like,
what?
He couldn't speak.
How cute.
He couldn't speak. I kidnapped him into the stadium. We went to
the seats. How old is he?
At this point, he's like 11. So, like,
he must have lost his mind.
Dude, like, he's one of those kids that, like, he's super into all the stats and fantasy, football, baseball, everything. So he's like... he knew every player and, like, every single thing about them. So it was so fun for me.
Sure. I mean, he likes them now because they're great now. When I was a Warriors fan, they sucked. Like they used to, the Warriors. This is how bad it was. This team, and we still went to the games, but we would come out of movie theaters. Like we'd go to the movies and we'd come out and there'd be somebody giving away Warriors tickets just to fill the stadium. And then just to see their progression and to see, you know, then they just got better and better. And now it's like, forget it. They're insane.
I mean, we live in San Francisco. We've been really lucky that like we've had one dynasty kind of leapfrog the last. Like we got to hang out with Matt Cain back when the Giants were killing it.
Yep.
We've been
Matt
lucky
Cain
in the
on
city.
MythBusters.
We it did. Was, we also like you know awesome. You and me did a little thing with Matt Cain later. Like I think you guys still keep in touch, right?
Yeah,
it was
a very magical time in sports. Living in the Bay Area at that time was a very magical time.
My sister is way more sporty than me. Like I actually like recently dug up some footage of her playing softball to show her kids because they're like, wait, mom played sports? Like they can't even imagine a time when mom was like sporty like that. It was so cool. Like my daughter played baseball a bunch. Well, softball, t-ball when she was little. And like, I think that's when I started getting excited about baseball because she was so cute in her little uniform. Go Twinkies.
we did a lot of baseball myths on the show. We tested personally humid balls versus dry balls. We said, Gary, why are you you're so mature?
Barely film that entire episode. I don't know if you remember, I got the giggles so hard. There was definitely one part, like the cameraman, it was before lunch, was holding up the camera. I don't know if I had low blood sugar, but every time I said humid balls, I fell into giggles so hard. Like, I wonder if they have that footage anywhere.
God, wouldn't that be great to see all the outtakes?
Oh my God, because it'd be like, and now I'm holding one dry ball and one humid ball. And I just couldn't, I still can't do it.
We tested, it was the myth came from Colorado because they're at such altitude that the air was much drier. So they, to make it, to level the playing field, they said, let's put the balls in a humidor and that will make it harder for them to hit home runs. And it'll make it even for all the baseball players who come and play in Colorado.
Guys made the coolest rig for that one. Like, you and Grant worked on this rig where it was like a bat would spin one direction and the ball would come in the other direction. So it would make contact as if it was players, but it was more consistent because it was, you know, it was a rig. So like, it was so cool. And it actually worked like when we got it out onto the field, it was actually working out the gate.
Yeah, and we got it working consistently. Yes, it was two spinning drums. One had the bat, one had the ball, like you said, and they would move in opposite directions so that, you know, so it was basically the ball would swing in and then the bat would swing out and we would get a consistent baseball hit every time.
I mean, that one, I was really impressed with that one because we actually got some concrete results. Like we were out there with three different colors of flags and there was, you could definitely see a trend of like humid balls.
You're wearing
and
that
then
jacket.
Half humid balls.
Wearing the jacket that you wore on the day of the episode. Wow.
I know. I always love
it.
I love to dress the part.
Throwback.
So yeah. I dug this out. Dug out.
Oh,
get it?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I'm gonna start with the puns now. Start with the puns now.
Is that where we're going?
Play ball.
Catch yourself. You need to catch yourself. All right, let's move on to the next. What was the other baseball myth we tested?
It was corked bats, it was sliding versus running. And then it was like knocking the leather off of it.
Knocking the leather off of a baseball.
Which that one was busted.
That was
corked
busted,
bats don't hit balls further. And you, Grant, and Jamie put on uniforms, which was so fun to watch. The three of you were like sliding and running. And like Grant was making like a little sensor to find out which was faster. That was cool.
Gosh, that's crazy.
You were the most athletic out of our crew. For sure.
That's not
always hard.
That's not saying much. It's not very hard. But you know what's funny? I was just thinking about the baseball. Could you knock the leather off of a baseball? I feel like if it was a strong enough hit, you might like not a baseball hit, like a human hitting the ball, But have you seen that kid who he took a baseball bat and loaded a piston and it has like a 50 caliber cartridge? So when you hit the sensor where the piston is, the shot goes off and it launches the ball like hundreds of yards. Have you seen this video?
Shut up. This sounds like something Grant would do. That's insane.
Right? I feel should have done this on the show to see if we could actually knock the leather off. Like, why didn't we ramp this up?
They used an air cannon. They got to 200 miles an hour, but like, it just kept breaking the bat. So like, what is this clip? Where did you get this clip?
I just found out I knew we were going to be talking about baseball. So I just started going down a dive on YouTube and this one popped up and I was like, oh my God, look at that. Is that the raddest thing you've ever seen?
Oh my God. Is that like the mechanism for it looks like bullets. Like, is that a 50 caliber?
Yeah. So he loads there's like an explosive inside this piston. So when the ball presses on the piston, it ignites that charge and shoots the piston out and basically launches the ball. You know, so you don't even have to swing that hard. It's just hitting the ball and it just takes off.
I feel like this could improve my game. I'm killer at the Nerf baseball, but I don't hit that far. So I think I need one of these.
So you're very excited about a certain subject in baseball right now. Is that
Oh my
not
God.
True?
Oh my God. So I mean, baseball,
this is all I've been hearing about, everybody. Just every day she's like, "Oh my God, have you seen this new bat design?"
Well, I mean, it's not that new. It's a couple years old, but you know, like the All-Stars games always bring out like something new and exciting that's going to happen. And it's a little controversial, but like the torpedo bat has started to be adopted more and more. And it's just like a change in the shape of the bat.
It's a really cool design. And apparently it's helping batters hit better.
I got a little excited about this when we talked on a different episode about possibly different kinds of guests we want in here. And I love people who are kind of niche interests and are really excited about something specific. And so we found somebody, mind you, I stalked him on Instagram.
You know what? This is becoming pattern, Carrie. I think you need to you're starting to freak some of these people out. You're like,
I know. Like, well, when I
there's
want
a lot
something,
of stalking. There's been a lot
I'm
of stalking.
I'm
going to
get it. When I want a guest, I'm gonna get it sooner or later. I know. I did that with the mortician. Like, I know.
You got an issue here.
I literally was like, who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy, and found them on LinkedIn and finally got an email. And like, I was like, okay, I want to ask so many questions about science and baseball. So our guest today that we get to talk to is Aaron Lenny Linhart. He's going to tell us all about his innovation and hopefully a lot more. I think I might have a couple myths to talk about, you know, like
and
a couple
cool,
myths to butt.
Like, he's big in baseball, but then he's also, he has the mind of an engineer. So this is going to be interesting hearing his take on how this new bat was developed.
This is perfect for the Mythfits audience. We're going to stay weird. See how it threw out that tagline? See how I did that?
Yeah, Carrie, nice work.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Dude, Tori, I don't know about you, but my algorithms send me so much stuff about mental health, whether it's like a thought a day or gratitude journals or cold plunges. And I think I try all of them. I've definitely done cold plunges.
You don't try. You're so full of it. You don't do cold plunges.
I've tried so many. I cold plunge. I swear to God, I was trying cold plunge. I put ice in my bathtub.
No,
and sat
you
in it
didn't.
For like, I did. I did.
You did?
I was doing.
That's insane. That sounds insane.
I mean, it said it was going to make me skinnier and smarter and all the things. And it was like, I was like, yes, I want all of that. And I would put ice in my bathtub and I was doing 3 minutes a day and I got up to 10 minutes a day because the internet told me to.
10 minutes? You sit in a tub full of ice for 10 minutes? Yeah. I want to see. I need video proof.
You can't because I'm naked.
Hey, put a bathing suit on.
Do your algorithms target you the same way?
Yes. I feel like there are so many new channels popping up or just ads popping up. It's hard to get through all that noise.
With the internet and information overload about mental health and wellness, it can be a struggle to know what's true and what actions to take these days.
Using trusted resources and talking to live therapists can get you personalized recommendations and help you break through the noise.
I mean, I didn't grow up with therapy being something that people did, but like as an adult, I've used therapy so many times, like whether it was to get through relationship issues or like just being personally overwhelmed or like, you know, just like the craziness of life. So, I mean, I'm somebody who really, really believes that you can be helped with therapy.
Remember that time Grant and I went to therapy?
Oh, yeah, that was you guys went to couples therapy. Tori, I know how you can make getting therapy easier. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally.
You too can join a session with a therapist with a click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. Plus, switch therapists at any time.
As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise.
Talk it out with BetterHelp.
And if you love a good deal, our listeners get 10% off their first month of BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/MythFits.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MythFits.
Tori, if anyone needs therapy, it's definitely you. I think you should check out BetterHelp.
Will do. We'll do.
The reason I really wanted Aaron Lenny Linhart on this episode is because this is the perfect crossroads between science and engineering, which, of course, is something that, like, Tori, you and I are always interested in. So all you MythFits out there that don't know, this is the person who introduced and innovated the baseball bat. I mean, baseball is just, it is a long-running sport with not a lot of changes. So during the All-Star game a couple years ago, the torpedo bat was introduced, and it changes the shape of the bat. It's so cool because it's still within the rules, but it's different. So I'm really excited to ask him about this.
Nothing really has changed with the bat for how many years, you know, baseball, the history of baseball. And normally a baseball looks like a club, right? You know, it starts off thin at the bottom and then tapers out, getting wider and wider towards the end. What this does is it tapers back down. So now you have this big sweet spot just, you know, closer to the middle of the bat than before.
I have so many questions. So let's welcome Lenny to the show so we can ask. It doesn't get any cooler than talking to an engineer who actually innovated baseball. So welcome, Aaron Linhart. I think they call you Lenny.
That's right. Thanks. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tori, for having me on. I really appreciate
it. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. So would you say you created this bat? Like, how did this whole idea come up?
I think the way it usually starts is there's some sort of problem that you're trying to solve. And for a long time, people have been trying to make more contact and kind of higher quality of contact, right? Hit the ball harder, hit them at better angles so they'd play for more home runs and doubles. And there's any number of ways you can try to improve that for hitters. You can try to make mechanical changes with the hitters. You can try to help their vision and identify pitches and track the pitches better. And at some point, we also then tried to add in a layer of, hey, can we make some equipment adjustments to try to make more contact and improve the quality of contact that they're making? So it really just came down to trying to, you know, help move the needle in as many different ways as possible for the hitters to try to make more contact and improve the quality of contact.
Now, for people who don't know what this bat looks like, what you described it as a bowling pin. It does. It looks like a stretched out bowling pin. It's, you know, in the old days, you know, the bat would start narrow and then taper out till it was like a giant club. But now this design, it actually narrows back down, so it looks like a torpedo. How is that increasing the bat ability, or, you know, how is that giving a batter an advantage?
Let's say you are capable of swinging a bat that is maybe 34 inches long and 31 ounces. The way I look at that is you have a 31-ounce wood budget. How do you want to invest your wood budget, right? It's like I gave you $100. That's your $100 budget. How do you want to spend your money? So if you ask the players how they want to spend their wood budget, you have to spend some of your wood budget down at the handle. You have to hold on to something, right? You have to spend some of your wood budget along the entire length of the bat. If you look at all the marks on a bat where the guys are hitting the ball, they know where they're hitting the ball most often, and they know where they're hitting the ball the hardest. So they kind of point to where all those marks are. And all those marks are about 6.5 inches down from the tip. And so they look at the bat and they think to themselves, why are all the marks on the bat 6.5 inches from the tip, but that's not the fattest part of my bat? Why am I not investing my most like the largest fraction of my wood budget where I'm actually hitting the baseball.
Right.
You have to leave some wood there kind of past this sweet spot, kind of out on the tip. But the goal is to minimize how much you invest there to kind of get the maximal benefit from it while reinvesting all that wood that you took away at the sweet spot where you're actually hitting the ball most often, doing the most damage, and therefore kind of increasing the probability that you do hit the ball and do damage when you hit it. So that's kind of why the shape took this form.
Are there any other weird innovations that you've been working with bats? Because like I know that we've on Mythbusters, we played with a corked bat and we found out it actually doesn't hit the ball better or further. Like it was, I mean, I feel bad for Sosa when his bat broke because like it wasn't giving him anything. Like, are there, I mean, did you ever think of putting like divots in the bat or any different sort of weird innovations that you're like crazy things that maybe you're thinking of for next time?
I'll keep some of the crazy ones private for now. This last innovation kind of flew under the radar for a couple years and then it became public. I mean, we're definitely trying to stick within the rules. So that is a limitation. The rules are restrictive and for good reason. Like you said, a lot of the things that people tried and thought might help probably didn't help as much. I think there are some published papers out there. You know, I think someone even tried to consider putting, like you say, dimples on the surface of a bat so that it's a little bit more aerodynamic, kind of like a golf ball actually travels mm-hmm. better because of the dimples on the golf ball. If a golf ball was smooth, it would not actually travel as well. And so people have talked about things like that on the bat. And ultimately, I think, you know, Major League Baseball is going to have some sort of say about how the bat needs to be smooth and things like this. So there's some things that you can do to push the envelope. And then ultimately, you know, the gatekeepers of the game are going to have a say in whether or not they can go forward or not.
Now, corking the bat, it's more about just making the bat lighter, right? So that the batter can swing quicker.
So it's like you said, you tested it and it didn't really work out very well. I've heard all sorts of explanations for it. I've heard people putting, you know, like super balls inside the bat as if that's going to make it kind of springy.
I mean, why did we know about that one before, Tori? I would have totally tested super balls in a bat.
The thing that really might help would be if you can modify the weight distribution in a way that better fits your swing. And the more degrees of freedom you have to modify that weight distribution, the more advantage you might be able to have, right? So you are allowed to cup the end of the bat so you can take some wood out of the end. So if you look at the end of the bat, sometimes mm-hmm. there's like a little scoop taken out of it.
All right, let me just pause you for a second there. For the Mythfits out there that don't know, what is cupping and corking?
So basically, like if you look at the end of a baseball bat, sometimes it's a solid piece of wood, like all the way to the very end. And sometimes they actually like kind of like drill a little bit of the wood out at the very end. So if you look at the end of a baseball bat, sometimes it's like solid wood all the way out there and it's just kind of flat, almost like a pool cue would be. And mm-hmm. then sometimes there's like a 1.5-inch diameter, or maybe 1 inch deep, kind of like I don't know, like
a bowl.
Scoop. Yeah, basically like, you know, an ice cream scoop kind of size chunk taken out of it or whatever.
Can you explain when you're giving signals to your runners or your batters? I know you're not going to give us away your secret codes, but can you just explain? Because I'm, you know, it's like watching baseball. It's like, okay, what are they saying right now with those signals?
At any point in the game, there's certain strategic decisions that are, you know, you have a choice to make, right? And so a lot of times, you know, the players are definitely in charge of playing the game on the field. But the manager, the bench coach, the coaches in the dugout are certainly in charge of providing the players guidance on what strategies to use, right? So, hey, on this particular situation, are we going to try to throw the runner out at home plate or are we just going to try to, you know, just take the out at first base or something like that? Right. And so it depends on who the runners are and what the score is and what the inning is and all that kind of stuff. So in any given moment, there's probably only like two or three possibilities for that particular situation on what kind of strategies might get implemented. But that's mainly what the signs are trying to convey is, hey, in this moment, you know, these are the kind of the three common options we're recommending, you know, option one, option two, or option three, whatever that happens to be. So it can be anywhere from defensive positioning, defensive strategies, offensive strategies, that kind of stuff.
Can you give us a sample?
a sample of what? Of signs that you want to see?
What is that? What are you doing? You got you're pointing up your hat, your nose, and your ears. What?
All right. I'll play that for a couple of our players and see if they recognize it.
Now, when we tested the myth, is it better to run through first base or to slide into first base? What do you tell your runners?
Run through the bag. I did not see your episode, so maybe I'm giving them poor advice.
To be honest, I don't even remember what we Carrie, do you remember what we concluded?
I do. Sliding was faster, but we were using you, Grant, and Jamie as our sample size and not, you know... I feel like we need a much bigger sample, but it was really.
What are you talking about? I got wheels, Carrie. I'm fast. They used to call me Wheels Belachi in high school.
You were the best of the three. I will give you that. You were definitely the biggest athlete.
I do think now with so many cameras in the game, there's actually, you know, cameras around every Major League Baseball stadium that are tracking all the players on the field, including all the joint centers on the players. So we don't just get information about where you're standing. We actually get information about where your wrist is, where your elbow is, where your knee is, where your ankle is. So I do think these are things that will actually now be investigated during the actual game itself, right? So we don't even necessarily need to do an experiment. We can actually just observe what's actually happening and take the data from these cameras to actually sort out, you know, who's better at sliding, who's losing more speed and more distance when they slide, you know, who's not losing as much distance when they slide, that kind of stuff. If you see his foot on the bag and him reaching out for the baseball, we just generally advocate just run as hard as you can straight through the bag and let the umpire decide, you know, if you're safe or out.
Now, Lenny, for the hard-hitting questions.
Of course.
Oh, boy.
What is the craziest superstition that you've ever seen anybody, believe in to make them better?
Wow. I won't name names. I think the number of underwear superstitions in baseball is far larger than most people would realize. And yes, oh, gross is the correct response to that.
Have you ever played baseball on acid?
No, but I wasn't very good. And maybe it would have improved my game.
Have you ever done the Bull Durham and worn a thong?
I'll leave that in the underwear superstition category.
I'm so curious, like, what is the percentage of Major League Baseball players that have tried wearing the silk thong? Because I've heard many a story.
I would say the underwear superstition category falls ranging from no underwear to the silk thong to the same underwear every day. There's a wide spread.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been awesome.
I appreciate it, Tori. I appreciate it, Carrie.
Oh my gosh. And I encourage you to go back and maybe watch our Mythbusters baseball episode because I know that you've got some nerd deep down in there. I want you to go check out some of the weird engineering that we tried, because maybe it'll give you some ideas for your next innovation.
I certainly will. I'll pass all my innovations your way, and you guys can test them out for me and see if they're actually going to work or not.
Yes.
Deal. Thank you. You've been such a good sport. You've been such a good sport for us.
No, thank you, Tori. Thank you, Carrie. Really appreciate the invitation.
Thank you so much, Lenny. And if you guys want to follow Lenny and the Marlins, you can find them at marlins.com.
Go Giants. Welcome back to MythFits. Oh, that was so fun, Carrie. I'm so glad you stalked that guy and got him on the show because there was so many more questions though that I had for him, like cheating in baseball. Like, what are the ways to, you know, give an advantage to the pitcher, or, you know, just there were so many more questions that I had.
I think we need to have like a part two with a different, maybe we can get, do you think that like a retired pitcher would give us like some of the dirt, or like, who can we talk to who's official, but like...
who will actually tell really, us...
Yeah, who would actually spill the tea for us? I want to put a call out there. If you're somebody who'll come give us the dirt, come on in, MLB.
Just check your DMs. Carrie will be there. Hi. Hi there.
I might be there.
Want to come on my podcast? You know what, though? There was one thing that I really wanted to talk to him about. It was the... You know the... it's not really a myth, but it sounds like an urban legend. Doc Ellis, he pitched a no-hitter on LSD.
How do you pitch a no-hitter on LSD?
I know, right? I mean, when you hear this guy's interview, it is hysterical. And he actually says that the acid helped him focus. He was like, I just focused on two sides of the plate, the right side and the left side. And it's just, you have to go to YouTube and find this video. It's Doc Ellis pitches no hitter on LSD. And I don't know, I just wanted to hear what his thoughts were on that.
Dude, that's crazy. Okay. I heard another one that I actually was it's sort of confirmed. So Wade Boggs drank 60 beers before a game. And then I saw a clip where they're talking to him. And on another occasion, the man drank 107 beers in day. How do you consume that much beer? How?
That's a lot of beer.
I mean, just the bathroom trips alone.
Right? Dude, that reminds me, one time in San Francisco, I won't name the players, but it was during the Giants, when the Giants were killing it. You know, it was like around 2010.
Yeah.
And these two baseball players who were on the team, it was midnight. Me and some friends were outside of this restaurant having dinner. And my friend's girlfriend had a French bulldog. It was this cute little dog. And so these two players come down. We see them. We're like, oh my gosh, you guys, the Giants are the best. We love you guys, this and that, whatever. One of the players is so drunk, he gets down onto the concrete and starts rolling around with this bulldog. And he's like kissing it. And the other guy's like smoking a cigarette. And they're just like, we're like, oh, wow, you know, it's late. They're drunk, smoking cigarettes. And then the guy smoking the cigarette's like, hey, bro, get up. We got a game tomorrow. And I'm like, what? That's how you prepare for a baseball game? I was like, these guys are badass.
Man, I guess if you are like a peak performance athlete, like you can abuse your body a little bit and it's still going to be fine. Like if I drank that kind of beer, I would be a wreck the next day.
I know.
I couldn't get out of bed, let alone play a professional game. Baseball is one of those things that it has so many different myths. If you build. Okay, so like baseball, baseball.
You know what? A lot of people think it's if you build it, they will come.
Is it?
But it is. It's he. You got it right. Good job.
Oh, I did. That's
from the movie A Field of Dreams, folks. In case you never seen
it. You and I are like movie nerds, so I always like to throw out a little quote or a reference right there.
Nice. I like it.
I mean, I remember seeing like the Babe Ruth baseball movie, and there's controversy over whether he was calling his home run or if like the Cubs were just harassing him so much. And he turned around and he's like, I got one more. I still got one more. And then like there's video of it. And I can't totally tell. I don't think he's calling it. I think he's actually he's giving him a finger. One more.
He wasn't pointing. He was.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that one, but I definitely think that like we have romanticized that moment super duper hard. I would love to talk to an expert on that, but I don't know if anybody's still alive that saw that game.
Well, what about the Cubs, the curse of the Cubs, the Billy Goat curse? So apparently there was a guy at the game with his Billy Goat. They kicked him out of the stadium and he vowed, he put a curse on the Cubs and he's like, you'll never win another World Series. And it lasted like 50 years or something crazy. I think it was like in 2003 that they were actually able to break that curse. But is that like the superstition in baseball? That's a real thing.
I mean, it just shows like the mental is so part of the game. Like if you believe it, it's real. Like if you believe that your bat is blessed or that like, you know, you touch a sign or you wear ladies' underwear. If you believe
or you don't wash your underwear.
You better, I know.
How gross is that? I'm never washing my underwear because these are my lucky underwear.
This podcast is going so well. I'm going to wear these underwear every single time. Weird. God.
Have you ever seen that? I knew we were going to be talking about baseball today, so I just kind of went down a rabbit hole of baseball, but there was Joe Niekro. He was a pitcher, and you got to see this video because it's so great. They suspect that he's like scuffing the ball because I guess when you scuff the baseball, it makes it easier to throw pitches because there's drag on the part of the ball that has been scratched. And so like your curveballs, it's easier to throw curveballs and such. So he's out on the mound. He's surrounded by umpires and they're all kind of like looking at him and he's pulling his back pockets out to show, look, it's empty. I have nothing in my pockets. And then he like tosses something and it catches one of the umpires' eye and they're like, what is it? They look down. It's like an emery board And they're like, you're out of there.
No.
Booting him out of the game. You got to watch this video because it's so, he's like, dude, you're on national television. How do you think no one's going to catch you throwing a little piece of emery board?
I mean, maybe he just like really likes manicures. Maybe like at any moment he wants to make sure that that hangnail doesn't ruin the slow motion shot and the close up of his hand, you know, like maybe that was it. No.
Probably not. All right, Carrie, this is the time on the show where we take a fan question. Are you ready for this one?
All right, Myth Fitz, what you got for us?
This one comes from Dustin Smothers. Does Carrie still have the RFID chip in her arm?
I get this asked a lot. So we did an episode to find out if it was the MRI, if it's going to like rip an RFID chip out of you. Now, people were implanting RFID chips that were like, they were passive. Like it was like if you get scanned, sort of like your groceries at the store, like information would come up, and they were using them. And the idea was to implement them in like Alzheimer's patients. So like if they were active,
it was just like a dog collar or dog tag.
Yeah.
A lot of animals have these RFIDs to identify if they're lost.
And if they were passive, it was just their information, because a lot of patients would get naked and try to run out the door. And like if they were active, it could actually shut the doors before they left, which scares me a little bit. That's a little too 1984 for me. But for the show, they asked us if we would implant one in arms.
They asked me first because they were like, oh, Tori will do it. He'll do anything. Yeah. And I was like, nope, I am not doing that. That is too creepy. And Carrie was like, I'll do it.
Do you remember in this? I mean, here's a little inside baseball, as they say. But bringing us full circle.
Still doing it.
Still doing it. So I had my knee surgery because on the show, I had dislocated my knee, busted my kneecap, and had to have surgery. So I was gimpy. I was like full leg brace. I was on crutches, but I was also on painkillers. So I was highly suggestible at this point. I'm like, sure. Like if you look at some of the episodes
when I was post-surgery, I think,
a little bit off my game. I said some weird stuff that like,
Carrie?
Your pupils.
You were like, yes, I will do anything for this show. That's what you were. You were like, sign me up. Put it in my arm.
It was crazy. So like they bring out this needle, which I swear to God, it was
God. Huge. It was so gnarly.
It was so huge.
Oh,
like it was like a grain of rice that was going to be implanted. So the needle had to be like, it was giant. It was like it was going to take a chunk. It was huge.
I remember going to the procedure. Now, like I just vomited in my mouth a tiny bit because the size of the needle, here's a good analogy. Does anybody do deep fried turkeys out there? If you have to prep the turkey, you have to inject it with liquid butter, and it comes with a giant syringe with this huge fat needle. That was how big this needle was that they shot into her arm.
And I don't know if you also remember, because once again, I was still on these painkillers. My blood was really thin. So when he poked me, there was like, it was a Kill Bill splatter of blood. And you guys were like, whoa. And the doctor's like, whoa, are you
going
to be on blood thinners? And I'm just like,
you should have asked that before the procedure. Oh, God.
So, I mean, the result was it didn't pull it out of my arm. No, it did not. But It was about
the size of a grain of rice, or a little bit bigger than a grain of rice.
And then it was in me. Yeah. And like I didn't take it out. Like I think I still have the scar. Hold on. Because like I had it. Oh, this is harder than I thought it would.
It's okay, Carrie. We believe you.
Good. Okay. So like right here in my arm, I still have like the dent there because it was years before I had it taken out. The show was kind of on its way out, and you know we could tell like I needed to get this out because I didn't want to pay for it, and I knew that I had to get it extracted. So I went to the doctor to see what it would take. It took a full surgery. They had to like cut it open and dig around in there. Like, they put me in Twilight to get this thing out. Like, I had stitches. But I was like, I don't know what the ramifications are going to be in the future. I don't know if, like, tumors are going to grow around it. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
They were worried about. Cancer, tumors. Yeah.
So, no, I don't have the RFID in my arm anymore. I had it there for years and years. And when I was doing eBay garage sales not that long ago, I sold it on eBay for quite a pretty penny. Somebody bought it.
That's creepy.
I was just like, well, what do I do with this? I don't want to throw it away. And I was just like, one man's trash, another man's treasure. So, yeah. I know that story got weirder and weirder the longer we talked about it.
So I guess the moral of the story is I chose correctly that time.
I feel like we've just gotten really weird. I think we should end the episode on this note right here.
Yes. Mythfits, stay weird, stay curious, stay awesome. We have a merch store now.
If all you Mythfits out there want to advertise that you're one of us, go to mythfitspodcast.com. We got a little shop button, and you can buy all the Mythfits merch that you can. Great for Christmas presents. There you go.
Like, subscribe, keep watching. We love you guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye, guys. Mythfits out.
Pioneer.